Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today I have one of my dearest friends joining me on the podcast, Jared Hamilton. Jared is an amazing coach out of Indiana, and he is talking a lot right now about the psychology of fat loss. In fact, he has a course called The Psychology of Fat Loss, and I think he even coined this term. But I will tell you this. This discussion that Jared and I have regarding the psychology of fat loss, self-sabotage, things like that, could very well change your life. So go grab your coffee, put up your feet and take a listen, or put on those AirPods, start walking and take a listen. You will absolutely love this episode. Now let's get to it. What's up, my friend? How are you?
What's up? I'm good. How are you?
Good. We can kind of pretend that we didn't talk, which is fine. It is really great to catch up with you. I've missed chatting with you. I mean, for those of you that don't know, Jared is a good buddy of mine, someone that I've never met in person, right? But I feel like when we do meet in person, it's going to be like old friends club, right?
Absolutely. I haven't. Yeah. It's what's funny is the handful of people in our little circle that that's happened with, like we only knew each other because of the internet that we met in real life. Nothing changed. It was literally like we'd known each other forever. Like, so for some reason, I think you're a lot taller though. I really feel like when I think of Susan Niebergall, I think like 5'9".
Oh no, 5'6".
So I'm 5'6".
Like, oh, so
I'm,
we're I'm the same. Yeah.
But most people think that about me though. Like most people who like, it's actually a letdown for most people. Cause like I do my best for like, my biggest fear is someone meet me in person. They're like, that is totally not who I thought he was in real life. My biggest fear ever. But the one thing is for some reason, everyone thinks I'm 6'3", 250.
Really?
I'm telling you, like I'll like be at a convention and someone will like see me, or I'll be at an event, or someone just somehow we cross paths in Indy, and I'll have people, they'll get excited. They'll be like, oh my gosh, you're the real Jared. Holy shit, you are so short. And that's what happens. It goes to this big high. It's like incoming this stranger hug. And then it's like, whoa. And they take like 3 feet back and they go, you are so little. And I'm like, it hasn't happened just once. It's like every time.
But you know what? I don't know. I think that's part because your personality is so big, right? You're so affable. You're so friendly. You're so out there. And maybe people associate that, you know, with taller. I don't know.
It's weird. You know? I think the other part of it too, though, is like, I'm extremely, physically speaking, I'm extremely misproportionate. So like my torso is like, like put it this way. I got a really tall torso and short legs. My inseam's 25 inches.
Oh, like, wow.
Yeah. Like most of the jeans that I buy are from the young men's, like the teenager section. So like I got really short legs, but like me and all my buddies are all like 6 foot and up, and we'll be at dinner and all of our eyes will be at the same level. Then we stand up and I'm still down here. So I think part of it too is like from my hips and up, like my torso is like a normal adult male. My legs though are like,
because I think that's probably what most people see, right?
Yeah.
What most people see on Instagram or on videos, right? They don't see head to toe all the time. Yeah. For sure.
That's but either way, it's a good conversation starter.
I would never have guessed. I mean, I think I knew that you and I were about the same height, because I think either you've said it or we've talked about it or something. But without seeing your legs, that would be very interesting, right?
The torso and the leg. Oh yeah. Like when I met Jordan for the first time, like he came to like my notes.
Yeah. Well, that's about the same for me.
Right. So it's like, anyway, like I digress.
Well, I wanted to get you back on because it's been so long, and I want everyone to know that Jared has one of my favorite podcasts. There is Hamilton Train podcast. His podcast is so good. And I love listening to your podcast. Like I put it on at the gym all the time. Like,
really?
And you talk to me.
I love it.
you do. You talk to me and give me a lot of things to think about and how to help people too, because we're both in the business of helping people. And I really find it so helpful to listen to you. You are very calm. I mean, it's just soothing, you know, it's just,
I appreciate that.
No, it is. And I have to tell you this quick story and then we'll actually get into what I wanted to talk to you about.
Let's do it. I love it.
I was out in southwestern Virginia at this place called The Homestead, where a music conference was happening, a music educators conference that my husband goes to. And I always tag along because the resort is like one of the top in the nation, evidently, with whatever. It's in the mountains. It's beautiful. And I just go and hang out while he does all the stuff, right? And I was out on a hike. And by hike, I don't mean like a hike. I mean a walking hike, you know, in the right. They have trails, right? Hopping on a trail, it's taking me in the woods, whatever, and I'm winding my way, and I have even in writing, you should see this on the left, or you should see this on the right, and everything was lining up perfectly until this one spot where it wasn't, and then I was so deep into everything, I'm like, oh no, I started getting like claustrophobic a little bit. Uh-oh. I mean, I started feeling anxiety. Yeah. It's not like I was in the middle. I mean, I would have found my way home, right? But I started feeling that. But I had two different podcasts going on, and from three voices that I know very well. One was yours, right?
There we go.
And one was another one with Matt McLeod and Mike Vacanti. We're doing a podcast mm-hmm. together. So three voices you and I know very well. Voices that kept me calm, all three of you, kept me like from freaking out until I could finally get my wits about me and figure out. I never did see the golf course I was supposed to see. I don't know. I just turned around and retraced my steps. But your calming voices, it's so funny. Everyone all of, in our circle, right? We know each other well.
Yeah.
I really think we do, you know, online. Mm-hmm. But we've never met in person. And you and I have talked that day will come. I am convinced
absolutely.
Of that.
Especially no, absolutely.
When we can get rid of all this COVID crap.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Just get free. Yeah, I'm liking the setup I'm seeing behind you too. Like I would like to come out and work out in there. Holy smokes.
This is my spot. Like, one of the things that I love about my wife is we both know the power and how, especially more psychology stuff, is having your space. So out here's mine. So during when COVID hit, we turned my disgusting, very rundown garage that wasn't finished. It didn't even have a ceiling. Like it was just rafters and stuff. And we turned this into my space. So we put heating and air in here. We put, this, my podcast setup is over here behind you is like my bookshelves and all of this. But I also, this is where I film most of my content. I have like my workout stuff. And then the man cave side of it, I have my drum set. So
well, this is a whole nother conversation, right? Being a former band director. Okay. And, I grew up one of the, my main instrument growing up was flute, but I also took drums. I mean, I had a drum set too. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I have like at one time I had three, so like I had to start getting rid of them. But, I actually recently bought this one about 6 months ago because I got on a plane and I missed it so much. And I just had this desire start coming back of wanting to get playing drums again. But also I have all old neighbors and I didn't want to be that asshole. Oh. And that's why I'm like, I just want to get a nice electric kit. And so I picked this one up. And one of the things that I've been working on, that I found out through my own inner work and like therapy and all the mental health and headspace stuff is one of the best things you can do is like probably inside each of us is, from our inner child perspective, the desires and things that you were into as a kid and taste those again as adults. And it's so great. So I'm like, all right, well, this was what I did as a kid. Like it was before I got into fitness was drums. And like, I forgot how much I loved it. So between that and getting back on the mats, like with training, grappling and stuff, it's just, it's great. So it actually, then I have grappling mats in the corner.
I love it. So that is truly your space.
This is the Jared spot. Well, and what's funny is from a, like a neurological side of things, when I come in here, I can't like relax. So in here is all about effort and productivity. So if I'm like meditating or like trying to settle down, I got to go like either in the house or like in my wife's spot. My wife has a Zen room and it's like my old office. So she like, it's like the most, it's like massage therapy room vibes. So like she has her own little spot. I have my spot. And then the rest of the house, we're together. So
I love that you both have your own spot and set up the way that you want it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally understand about the work thing though. Like that means work, right? I had a hard time at the beginning of being a work at home kind of person of figuring that out. I think that was really tough because I was used to going to school and I worked at the school and then I came home and then that home was home, right? And now home mm-hmm. has a mixed use.
Well, everyone, a lot of people who are in who were at an office pre-COVID, now during intra-COVID are dealing with all this. It's like the epitome of what's called neurological association, right? It's why we see people have trouble sleeping is because, like, for example, the only two activities that I teach should go on in the bedroom are sleep and sex. Because when you have everything else, when you have, you do work, let's say you grade papers, you're doing emails, you do now you have work in there. Let's say for some reason you entertain in there. Like, let's say like your kids come in there to like watch movies or mm-hmm. whatever. That's three more activities. And then like, let's say you keep adding to the pile. Let's say you now do laundry while laying in your bed, whatever it is. Now your brain is like, instead of just sleep sex, it's like, oh, these other stimulating activities, then we wonder why it's hard to sleep. Yeah. Well, a lot of people did that with their work and home. They would go to work, and as soon as they walk out of their doorway, they wear that hat. And then as soon as they come home and they come in it, they're like decompress mode. Well, now the same living room they were decompressing in, they have to be productive in. So yeah. like there's this internal like battle. Then people wonder why people are depressed and anxious and like not happy. And then it's just a fucking shit show.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. Absolutely. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, that's a good segue into, let's talk about something that you've been doing. And, I've heard you talk about it on your podcast a lot. And I would love to know, cause truly I don't know a lot about it. Other than mm-hmm. what I've heard you talk about, and that is your psychology of fat loss. Now, is it a course? Is it part of the tribe? Tell us what that is.
So, I've done a lot of deep inner work on myself for most of 2020. Mm-hmm. So 2020 was a very different year for me. I like hit every high in the book you could hit. My business is better than it's ever been. My happiness is better than it's ever been. My marriage is better than it's ever been. Everything is better than it's ever been. But because it has the one foundational standpoint of I connected to myself on a deeper level than I've ever gotten. So, which opened up this whole other area I had no idea about. So what happened was it got like, if you look back at like my content for the past, let's say 2019, 2018 and before, it's all about very much of normal fat lossy stuff, right? It's like, we're talking about how to calculate your calories, the best way to work out your glutes, the best workout program for this, that normal sustainable fitness stuff, which right. is great. And I love it.
Right.
But it started feeling heavy.
In what way?
I just didn't, like emotionally, like I just didn't feel as much, like don't get me wrong, I love coaching, I love fitness yeah. and I love all this, but like, I just felt like it's not serving as many people. I felt deep down, like it's just starting to feel heavy where it's just like, I just don't have as much of a desire to make another post about calorie deficit or another 7 posts about how to build workouts. And don't get me wrong, that's awesome. And I think there's such an amazing, it's so important. You and I both talk about it still mm-hmm. on our posts today. Like we're talking about this, but I now feel a desire, a deep, nasty driving another level to go a level deeper, because as well as my journey this past year and a half was with my own self connection. I started therapy. Mm-hmm. I started diving into a whole nother realm of this stuff. And I found a missing piece that I feel is where like my calling is at right now, which is where you see the world of fitness and fat loss, normal fitnessy stuff, but also this world over here of inner work, mental health, and your whole inner game, because those two worlds are completely separate. Unfortunately, like you, I'm sure you see this as well. Mm-hmm. Your stereotypical fitness coach, more than likely not our circle, but if we're talking, but like there's obviously more than the 5 people we hang out with. If you look at your stereotypical fitness coach and trainer, and a client says, I struggle with emotional eating, the trainer's going to say, get it out of the house and eat an apple. And it's like, mm-hmm. what kind of fucking advice is that?
Right.
Or someone struggles with, like what I see is people struggling with, because this is my thing, because my biggest thing is I want to problem solve, right? Because I don't want to be your woo-woo person. I don't want to be your hype man. I want to take your problem, bend it, snap it, break it, and give it back to you fixed. Well, my thing is where people struggle with is not in the realm of calories and strength training, right? That's a piece of it. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the problems that I see that I feel passionate about fixing have nothing to do with that stuff. It's things like false belief systems. That's the foundation of everything. It's everything from your relationship with food, relationship with yourself, binge eating, overeating, emotional stress, just not being happy, delaying gratification and happiness mm-hmm. for somewhere outside of you, whether it be money, whether it be a body, whatever, knowing what to do, not doing it, not being able to let go of the old story and these old demons that just won't let go of you. all of this shit has nothing to do with calories and strength training. But what I'm finding is when people, and I started looking at the people that I work with, it's like, I hate the term life coach, right? Like we all like, I'm like fucking, like, even if like it was me, like, okay, I'm 29. What the fuck do I know? But what I've been able to do that I've noticed with clients that I work privately with is people would start working with me for the sake of wanting to get healthy and lose weight. But I find all these areas and like happiness problems, old stories and belief systems that aren't serving them, not handling their emotions, not connecting with themselves. Now it came from the side of fitness and fat loss, right? So it's in my wheelhouse, but because I was able to teach people how to, like, in the world of fitness and in nutrition, handle their emotions, get on the other side of binge eating, fix their relationship with the scale, which is a relationship with them personally. Then all of a sudden that translated to their life. I just did a podcast with my girl, Ashley. She's one of my one-on-one girls. And she was the picture perfect example of it, where she came to me wanting to lose weight, but all this other shit came up. I'm sure you see, like, binge eating, emotional eating, self-deprecation, all these things. Well, we handled it about, like, I taught her, like, her example is how to separate emotions from food, how to find happiness now, how to, the power of promise keeping, all this stuff. Then all of a sudden she's like, hey, by the way, my marriage is better. My job is better. Like, every other area in her life was on another level. But the thing is, I would do this with, I can't even tell you how many people. And so I just felt, it was when I started studying a gentleman named Kyle Cease. He's not a fitness guy. He's a transformative kind of guy. And I started absorbing a lot of his content, and it just allowed me to dig deeper. And I'm like, okay, there's something here no one's talking about. Everyone's either fitnessy or everyone's either mental healthy, but there's nothing that's in the middle. So that's when I came out and I coined the term, I don't know anyone else that uses it, the psychology of fat loss, but also the term dieting from the inside out.
And I love that.
And so for me, most people, like, even if I look at my client applications, very rarely when someone applies to work with me, is it just, I want to lose weight. It's, I want to fix my relationship with food. It's, I want to quit failing myself. It's, I want to be happy. Now it all starts with the gateway of, like, fat loss, but it translates into all this other stuff, which is what I love about the game of coaching and fat loss and fitness and nutrition, because it just, it brings all your issues to the surface. But when you change you as the foundation, right? You, the way you view you and your relationship to food, like all this, everything, you take you everywhere. That's why, like, if you're like, oh, I'm the problem, but then you get rid of the problem, you get rid of you, and your brain won't let that happen, versus realizing, like, oh, this is separate from me, but this is sabotaging everything. But it's because you're the foundation of everything you do, the weight you want to lose, money you want to make, every conversation you have. So you fix that foundation, you fix everything. And that's where, like, I accidentally found the whole psychology of fat loss. And I just feel, I get in my flow most there. I feel most fulfilled there. I could literally, I literally do hours of content, like, in the tribe and with clients off the cuff. I don't even have to, like, prep for it. Like, even right now is, and I just feel so aligned with this. And so that's where I've really been focusing. So now, but to answer your question, like, what is that? It's literally everything I do. So, like, most people apply to work with me for these reasons. I really move the tribe in this direction, whereas the tribe is less about my, which, for those that don't know, it's basically my group coaching program, where I have, like, my own community of people. Don't get me wrong, we'll get into, like, calories and nutrition and workouts, but that's like 5%. The other 95 is all this other shit. And that's kind of the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I love that. And one thing that struck me as you were talking is, and this is something that I'm getting a lot of recently. And since my book came out, a lot of people have been commenting to me about the stories I'm telling and how these belief systems for someone my age, I've had them for 40 years. Yeah. You know, they don't go away by snapping your fingers, and they color everything, right? Yep. They color how you feel about yourself. They color, you know, if we want to talk specifics, you know, the scale. It was either, when I was growing up, it was either up, that's bad, down, that's good, that's it. There was no talk of anything else, you know, or why it does what it does. It was just that. There were good foods and bad foods. You know, all of those things that we hear are part of what you're saying for especially us middle-agers that have been around the bend a while. And we have grown up. I mean, that's a lot of time. Do you have a lot of middle-agers in your, in this group?
Almost 90%.
Yeah.
Like very, like, it's funny. Like, almost exclusively 95%, 90-95% of the people I work with are like my mom. Like the literally the equivalent of like my mom or young or like your 35 to 55 year old stereotypical woman is my average client. Which is funny because when I got into coaching, I wanted to be the bodybuilding expert, the muscle guy. And I'm like, I could give two shits about that. But like, this is actually a good segue is imagine if I held on to that identity. Imagine back when I started coaching people way years ago, I held on to that identity of no, I have to be the muscle guy, the bodybuilding coach, meathead Jared. If I held on to that, I would not be number one where I'm at currently. And I would not be helping the people where I'm like, where I feel called and meant to help at. But imagine me holding on to that. It's the same thing with all this other stuff, holding on to the scale beliefs, holding on to the belief of you're not worthy of what of achieving what it is you want. It's like you holding on to that is just going like, it'd be the equivalent if I held on to that from when I started coaching. You know, there's no evolution. It's why I have this giant new tattoo is because you grow or die. Like that's the whole concept of everything. You are either growing and progressing or you are dying and decaying. It's like the whole baseline premise of this. Did you know I got this giant tattoo?
That's amazing.
Did you know I got this big new tattoo?
And I did not.
So I post about it on my story sometimes, but I've been wanting this tattoo for a minute. It's got like seven deep meanings for me, but you can see a little bit of it poking out.
Yeah, I can see, yeah.
But it goes all the way up to, it's basically a 3/4 sleeve from like my here all the way up. But it's basically a giant tree that's growing up my whole arm.
How long did that take to put? That's incredible.
So I'm 8 hours in. I've got one more session. I just got the text notification to confirm my appointment next week, but it'll be done next week. I probably got another 5 hours left. It's big. It's like, I literally went from like the word gratitude on my wrist to a 3/4 sleeve on my other side. No, I've been sitting on this one for a while. But it's got like, what's funny is I teach from it a lot because one of the things I'm going to be making some big content on is I have purposely in this realm of like your own headspace and inner work, my triggers throughout the day that I have like that trigger my state to be in a maintained place. Well, one of which is each of my tattoos, but this tattoo in particular has about seven different meanings deep into it. But one of those is that whole grow or die concept. You know, and everything, but then everything does have a season of death. That's where people get off is because your brain doesn't care if you're happy. Your brain only cares if you survive. Right. Your brain doesn't, it's why it holds on to old belief systems. Well, everything in life has a season of dying. So it's okay to feel some internal friction and resistance against like, okay, I've always thought the scale was bad, or I've always thought I wasn't worthy, or I always thought whatever it is, I've always been an all or nothing person, whatever it is. You've got to let that die. Right. You can't become the next version of you holding on to the old version. Because if you like try to, I always tell people, if you try to keep the old version and try to put the new version in, now they're going to fight. And the old one's got more territory. It's been there longer. It's like throwing a dog that's lived. It would literally be like having a dog in a backyard that's lived there 20 years, throwing a new dog in there. Yeah. The new dog's going to get killed.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same thing with these old belief systems.
It's got roots. I mean, it's got strong roots.
Yeah. Again, that's okay. Why there's roots in this fucking tree. It's,
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, that's amazing. So is your tribe this? So psychology of fat loss, you had a separate course at one time for this, right?
I do. What happens is I actually have one course that people can just buy as a standalone thing. I've never like sold like a course. I've always done some form of coaching, whether it be group coaching or my personal coaching or whatever. I had never had like a standalone course. People can just buy and take. Well, because working with me is really exclusive and obviously personal coaching costs more. The tribe, still has a higher price point to it. And it's not open all year round. Like I close enrollment. I only open it a couple times a year. I still wanted an avenue where people could still get this at a more mainstream place. So that's why I like sell my course for like $15. And it's like, I've had people go through it and they literally like not tooting my own horn, but they are like, this course was completely life-changing.
Wow.
And because
what a
this
great
one's
price point.
Yeah, right. Well, I want it to be the price of your average Amazon book. Like I'm like, because I'm looking at them right now. I've probably had 4 or 5 books completely change my life and they were each like $15, right? Yeah. So that's why I wanted to make it more affordable for your normal person to go through it. Because that's the thing is, in my opinion, it takes also where the it sounds kind of hokey dokey, but where the consciousness is around this, it takes a special kind of person to actually want to dive into this.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not where it should be yet. Right. It's like, it's why back in the 60s, there was the bullshit back in the 60s because the consciousness of society hadn't gotten to a point where it could be accepted. I think we're on a tipping point in the fitness industry where that's at. I think people are realizing how like everyone needs therapy and everyone needs to learn to process their emotions and all of this stuff. So I think it's, but it's still there, but like, shoot, it's 2021 and people still think carbs store fat. So it's like, we're still pretty far behind from like where things should be at. Cause again, the fact that the fitness industry as a whole is still causing eating disorders, causing people to feel self-deprecating, still causing all of this extremism, disgusting stuff. So that's why I think part of it, that's why I feel like it's really my responsibility to start teaching this stuff more. And that's why almost all my content is exclusively around this stuff.
So you have the course, the standalone course that people can go in and get anytime. Yep. And then do you apply this in your tribe as well now?
Yeah. To be honest, with every single facet of anything I do, this stuff is applied in, because if I view it as like all of this, the psychology of fat loss, if you don't have this as like the foundation to everything mm-hmm. you do, it's why people lose their results. Mm-hmm. I word it like this. Imagine if you're in a place in life where you can have built the mansion of your dreams. You like won the lottery and you literally can have built the mansion of your dreams, but the contractors say, hey, we can totally do this. But the foundation, it's going to take us 6 months to get that thing poured. The house is so big. It's going to take us 6 months to get the foundation in a place where we can build the house of your dreams. I don't know a single person that would go, you know, just put the walls and ceiling up. It's fine.
Yeah. It's all, right? It's all no, good.
We wouldn't do that. But this is the reason why I see this. And I know you see it too, is people will fight the same 30 pounds for 30 years.
Yeah.
I literally have ladies I coach who, pre-working together, they'd literally been struggling since they were 13 years old.
Yep.
And it's sad, but it's because imagine if they would have taken the next 6 months to like get their foundation set, get their relationship with food check, get their headspace in check, get their inner work in check, get their whole inner game in check. And the cool thing is like your inner work and results aren't mutually exclusive. It's not like you have to put your fat loss on hold and gain weight while you're doing this. People think that it's your body tells your mind what to think. It's what conditioning is. So like part of how you get this in check is certain things over here as well, because it teaches. It's why you can't read about getting over the fear of heights. You just have to face your fear because your body conditions the mind what to think. But I'll tell people this and they're like, okay, but how do I lose fat? Like I got a vacation in 3 months. And
I'm yeah.
like that's the problem.
Yeah.
So that's why no matter what, in any capacity of what I'm teaching with this stuff, it all comes down. There's always a piece of like this inner work, foundational psychology of fat loss side, because without it, you're just destined to fail. You know?
Do you feel like that nowadays in today's society that everything, you know, we have everything at our fingertips, everything is quick, everything is fast. You can get whatever you want with basically one click, right? You can learn whatever. Do you think that seems to play a role in why everyone wants to just put up those walls and not focus on the foundation? Or do you think, and it may be an and, I mean, I have to think that that's partly true at least, but I also think that people, the walls are the tangible things that people see, right? The inner stuff is not, it's hard to grasp like
right.
that. I think, I don't know. Do you find people struggle with that?
So, I see two sides to that question. That's a great question. So number one, I say for the first part, yes and no. I think the fact that we live in an Amazon Prime society, it's everything. Like literally the fact that you and I are completely different states right now. And as soon as we click the unrecord button, you could have this to thousands of people in literally seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We live in that society, but there are still plenty of other things in our society that are slow as hell. Like, let's say when I tore my knee, my doctor literally says, you cannot speed up the 6 months that you're about to wait for recovery. All the other stuff, like we're all of us are fine waiting 12 years to graduate high school. We're all totally fine waiting 4 to 10 years to graduate college. We're all totally fine with taking 15 to 30 years to pay a mortgage. We're all totally fine taking 3 to 8 years to pay off a car. And most people are totally fine and okay and understanding that like, okay, I'm going to get an entry level job and I'm going to climb the corporate ladder in 5 years. there are still plenty of things like this.
Right.
They just don't get discussed. So yeah. Like there are a lot of things like making a grilled cheese sandwich that's pretty dope, or me ordering, I got a piece of content I'm working on. I ordered some props off Amazon the other day. So like they came today. It's stuff like that where there are those really quick things. But if you look at the big ticket items, they take way longer than fat loss does.
I think it's such a great point that people lose sight of that, you know. Yeah. I totally, but you're absolutely right. There are the big ticket items that none of those come quick.
Right. It's that same kind of thing. But again, if ignorance is bliss, if I don't know, I don't have to hold myself accountable. Mm-hmm. But then the second piece to that is, I think it's one of those things where you're totally, absolutely right that it's hard to measure and it's not as tangible, the inner work benefits. I'll give you an example. I always say everything operates on percentages. Inner work, specifically, inner work progression operates on percentages. So for example, let's say I have debilitating anxiety, wake up and I am in bed all day. Let's say that's a thing. But now, let's say did all this inner work, went to therapy, whatever. Now it's debilitating for an hour, then I can be productive. Is the anxiety gone? Absolutely not. But is it like half better? Like, absolutely. I like, it's that same kind of thing. Is the way I view it in the realm of fat loss is, let's say somebody would here's a really good one. I would have someone start with me. Let's say one of my girls I was working with, her first check-in had 4 binge days on it. Her first like weekly check-in had like 4 of the 7 days were 4,000 to 5,000 calories and were binge days. Okay. Not very good, but like, I'm just happy we're starting together. 3 months down the road, she had 1 binge day and she had a binge day and she freaked out. She's like, Jared, I just feel like I'm not making progress because I binged last night. And I said, Sarah, but here's the thing though. Your first week had 4 binge days on it. I said, that was your first binge in like 2 months, but I still binged. It's like, no, sweetheart. Think about that. Like, yeah, you may have binged, but you are no longer a binge eater who does it frequently. It would be like another example I give is like a person is trying to, let's say they're a chain smoker and they're trying to break the habit of smoking, but they go from 2 packs a day to a pack and a half. And they could be like, I'm still addicted. It's like, yeah, but you're down a pack to a pack and a half. Mm-hmm. You were at 2 packs, but I'm still smoking. Like, yeah, but there's progression. I was talking to someone else about this the other day where they may have had really bad scale anxiety and it would just totally cause them to binge and fall off. Now they throw an adult hissy fit for 5 minutes and they continue on their day. That's still like 85% better. So with all this inner work changes, not only is it harder to be tangible, but it works in percentages. And when you go from like 100% to 99 to 98 to 97 to 96, you feel like you're not progressing. It's like the whole boiling a frog analogy, where you could, what's the old saying? You could put a frog on a stove in cold water and you slowly increase the heat and he won't know he's being cooked alive. It's the same exact thing with all this inner work, where it feels like you're not progressing, but this percentages are so incremental, it's still progress.
Do you think the word, because I see this a lot with people I talk to, and I'm sure you do too, in going back to losing weight or whatever, the whole should be, those two words, I should be, like, or the thought, I should be, somehow this should be gone, or I should be losing weight faster, or I should be getting stronger faster, or something like that.
I see a lot wrong with that. Number one, compared to what? You can't tell me how bent my stick is without showing me a straight stick. But then if that straight stick is completely irrelevant contextually, it's like, well, my friend Sarah, like, who gives a fuck about Sarah?
Yeah. Okay.
Because here's the other thing I say. If you're going to compare, at least compare the whole story, right? We all know we're not supposed to compare, but I tell people, if you're going to compare ramifications as well. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, well, Sarah lost 30 pounds in 30 days. And like, Sarah also throws up after every meal and she is about to get a divorce because she hasn't been on a date with her husband in 20 years because of trendy dieting. So if you're going to compare, let's at least be contextually relevant.
Yeah.
Right. Or that would be like me comparing my business. Well, I'm not a millionaire, but that's a millionaire online coach. Well, they also evade taxes and their business isn't going to be here in 20 years. Okay. Well, are we going to compare just like the buffet and pick and choose what you want? Right. Or are we going to compare the whole story?
Right.
So I think the should be conversation is number one, compared to what, but the what is usually irrelevant. Then most people are only picking and choosing what they compare. They're not comparing the ramifications as well. But then also, that's a false identity, right? Oh. That's like me saying, I'm an all or nothing person. I've just always been. That's just validating bad behavior.
Oh, but it's a justification for it, isn't it?
It's 100%. So
100%.
I should be this. I'm like, says who? That's a false belief you're choosing to buy into. Mm-hmm. That's not serving you. But I would argue this. What if I'm a big fan of throwing things to extremes, because if it's relevant little, it's relevant big. When it comes to these false identities that we take on, because again, it's why it's dangerous. Your brain's sole role is to keep you alive and prove you right. So if you say, I'm an all or nothing person, I should be here. Your brain goes, yep, okay. And it finds reasons to validate it, mm-hmm. which is dangerous. That's what leads to self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. But like, what if we said this for something else? Well, so people like in dieting, for example, the all or nothing. I've just always been that way. I'm an all or nothing person. Mm-hmm. It's like, what if someone beats their wife every night and said that? I've always beat her. I'm an all or nothing person.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one would let that fly.
Right. Right.
So why are we letting it fly here? It's a blatant hypocritical thing. I'm in the middle of my book, and it's one of the big things I'm going to be talking about is this dichotomy, like, or this hypocritical component. People in dieting have this perfectly cookie cutter belief system, but that would not fly in any other area of their life. I love it when I get someone that's like, I'm an all or nothing person. I go, can we talk about it? Can I ask you a couple questions? And they're, cause I don't want to just scream down someone's throat that they're wrong. I want to like actually have a conversation, and I'll go, well, can we talk about it? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. I said, have you ever been like late to work because of construction? And they're like, oh yeah. I said, so did you quit? Oh no. Why? I'm like, that's a very all or nothing approach. I'm like, oh, okay. They're like, okay, that makes sense. I said, did you ever get an A- in school or a B? And they're like, oh yeah. I'm like, so why didn't you drop out? Well, that's just not practical. I'm like, but it's all or nothing. Remember? Well, do you have kids? Well, yeah. I said, has any of them ever like not cleaned their room when you told them to? Well, yeah. So why didn't you disown them and put them up for adoption? I get what you're saying. Okay. It's the same thing. We are not all or nothing people outside of fat loss, but we act like we are here, or we go, well, I should be here. It's all the same thing. As we have a belief we're trying to hold power to, when that belief is trying to die, mm-hmm. and you just got to let it die. So
I just find recently for me, I've had more tough, lovish kind of conversations, like what you're talking about this very thing.
My talk is soothing. I'm like, what the fuck?
Because you're familiar to me. And like, I know the person behind the voice. But it's so much of the people that come, and I'm sure they're in this group like this. Well, this is just what I do. I love that one, or some version of that. What do you mean this is just what you do? This is what you're choosing to do over and over and over and over again. And now you believe it. And now you're just going to keep doing it because you've just given yourself permission to do it. And that's the problem.
Yeah, it's we're trying to keep something alive that's trying to die. Think about, this is one thing I've learned from that guy, Kyle Cease, that I study a lot. Like, think about the stuff you don't try to like keep alive. Like, you don't try to keep your arms on. Your arms are not trying to fall off. That your arms, like, you know, it's like when people are like trying to hold something together, it's like, if it's trying to die, let it. Uh-huh. If your old beliefs are trying to die, like let them die. The reason it's hard is because of conditioning. We have such attachment to it.
Yeah.
And our brains view it as dangerous. It's like, we've always known on top of the roof is slippery and scary and dangerous. So as you go up, your brain goes, fuck, fuck, fuck. What are you doing? Don't. Then you jump off the roof and go, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I totally agree with that. I think, you know, it's the whole, it's uncomfortable because maybe you don't know what's around that corner. If, mm-hmm. when you let go, you know, change can be uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
And it can be scary for a lot of people, especially us older people who've had those same stupid beliefs for like over half our life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I totally get that completely. And the thing is with it, the unknown is where the magic happens. Cause this is another thing I've learned a lot. There's a neuroscientist I study. His name is Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he's brilliant in his conversation about this. And he talks about it this way, is when we go into that place mentally where we're trying to like, well, what if, you're trying to predict, you're trying to like be ready for the worst thing. Those are hardcore survival emotions, fear, worry, doubt, anxiety, preparation. Like, when you're trying to predict every facet, it's, you're living in survival. Well, you can't live in survival and dream and be open and receive on higher levels and like conquer, right? The whole concept of like prepare for the worst, but expect the best. That's a complete, you wouldn't be preparing for the worst if you're expecting the best. Those are complete opposites. But when we live in that place, like I see so many people in weight loss, they're like, well, what if this doesn't work? Well, what if I gain it back? Well, what if I waste my money? It's like you trying to prepare for the T-Rex to come eat you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to step out and like execute properly. Right. It's like driving with your gas light on. You're so freaked out about not running out of gas because of the unknown. You drive differently than when that thing is full. It's the same thing when we operate our whole lives out of scarcity and fear and worry and doubt and all these scarcity emotions, and especially when it comes to fat loss, you're not going to execute fully. You're going to be like walking on eggshells, which will keep you from achieving. You can't live in survival and achieve. It doesn't work like that.
Agreed 100%. You know, you briefly mentioned a few minutes ago about self-sabotage, and that is another biggie, right? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Why do you think so many people self-sabotage?
It all comes back to conditioning, right? One of the best examples, and I've always said this, especially in the realm of weight loss, if you stay the same you mentally and you get some cool results, and you lose weight, the old you will always find ways to gain it back, because your mind and how it connects to actions and who you are is like a thermostat on the wall, right? If you're set at 70, your house heats up to 80, your thermostat goes, this is not where we're set at, cool the fucking room off. Mm-hmm. Well, if you still view yourself down here as whatever, unworthy, the overweight kid, the all or nothing person, whatever it, your 70 degrees is, and you get results, conscious or subconsciously, that is death to that place your mind is at. So that's why your brain has to sabotage it and you go back down, right? Because the only reason like your thermostat kicks on is because the room temperature is different than where it's set at. Well, if you stay mentally set at 70 and you lose weight, it's like someone says, I'm never motivated. Then they get motivated. Your brain goes, fuck, this isn't right. This is death. And it finds a way to sabotage, because then you're not motivated anymore. Or if someone has the internal belief of like, oh, losing weight's hard, when then they lose weight easily. Well, that's death to like that identity. So your brain has to find a way to sabotage it. So this is why, again, why it goes back to like dieting from the inside out and the psychology piece, because why don't we just raise that floor so you don't sabotage anymore? Because again, your thermostat doesn't have to kick on if the room temperature is set at, it stays where it's set at. Your thermostat turns off. It doesn't have to bring the temperature back down. And it's the same thing. That's why people sabotage, is because there's an unconscious program running, right? Like how many times, Susan, I guarantee you could list the top five of your clients where like that you see a lot, where it's as soon as they lose their first 10 pounds, something happens. Or as mm-hmm. soon as they hit a stride of consistency, husband gets sick. Or as soon as they like do really well, something slips. But it's also been the same thing that's happened the past 20 times. So my thing is, you can't stop the rain from coming, but you can totally put your windows up and prepare. It's the same thing. If you know what you're this is why self-awareness is so important. If you know your sabotage mechanisms, if you know every time, like you hit your 3-month mark with being consistent, then something happens. Well, when you get to 2.5 months, you go fucking vigilant and go, okay, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. And then you can prepare accordingly so that doesn't happen. Then you're rewriting this unconscious program.
Is that how you work with people through a self-sabotage
situation? Yeah. Step one is you can't escape a jail you don't know you're trapped in, right? Yeah. Like imagine a fish trying to find water.
Yeah.
It's like, there's so much wrong with that. It's like, yeah. Imagine a fish going confused, trying to find the water, but it's like, bro, you're in the water.
Well,
most people don't realize they are caught in a program subconsciously that's causing them to stay derailed. So step one is awareness. What happens every time you try to diet? What, literally write it on paper. You can't shoot a target you can't see. So mm-hmm. step one is become aware of it. Like, and if someone doesn't know what it is, like then you just go fucking sit in the corner with their eyes closed and it'll come up pretty quickly, right? Honestly, audit and look at yourself, what the past things have happened. This goes with anything like money. How many people make money then lose it? They get like, or in the coaching realm, they get a bunch of clients and they sabotage it and all of them go away. It's the same premise. Like what happens every single time? Oh, well, every time I hit the 3-month mark, my husband gets sick. Or every time I lose 10 pounds, I knew a lady that I worked with that as soon as she saw progress, she binged. Literally, she would lose weight and she would go, oh my gosh. And she's like, I don't know why I did it, but I go slam 18 donuts. It's the perfect example of like, well, what happens? Because now you can prepare accordingly for it. Because now also you're not the program. again, people say, like, imagine me, imagine if I had a hat on, but I thought the hat was my skin. I can't take it off. But if right. I go, oh, this is a hat, this hat's ugly, I'm going to take it off now. It's not me. It's separate from me. Too many people think they're the problem. Mm-hmm. You're not the problem. Your unconscious program that's probably tied to your childhood is the problem. So instead of going, oh my gosh, this is a problem, it's wait, that's the problem. I'm just going to get rid of this. So now you can prepare for it, because as soon as one of the best ways to get power over your programs is just to be aware of it. And as soon as you're aware of it, now you can handle it accordingly. Now you can, you know, it's like what we see. It's why football players watch their team's film. What happens every time number 58 gets the ball? They tackle him. It's like, oh, we'll expect him to tackle in 3, 2, 1, jump over him. We do it in jujitsu. It's everything we do, right? So now you just prepare for it, and then you know exactly when it's going to hit now, because it's your own program, and now you can handle it when it happens. And then when you conquer it, because you will now, because you're separate from it and you can see it coming from a mile away and you conquer it, your brain goes, oh, that didn't work. Well, what the fuck? And now you're rewriting new conditioning. It's the same, like one of the best examples I have of this is our dogs. So all of three of
our
dogs. I love
your dogs, by the way. Remy's my favorite.
He's everybody's favorite.
Remy's my favorite.
Oh yeah, he's a good one. Well, my two girls, mm-hmm. Lily and Nika, came from really shitty people. They both have had some level of trauma and beating because people are shitty sometimes. Well, when we got them, if you were to pet them, they would probably wince, because they've been beaten a bunch. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't just sit and wait and not pet them ever again until they one day wouldn't wince. It was through conditioning they learned I wasn't going to beat them. So for the first month or two, every time I go to pet them, they might wince. But then when through the uncomfortable petting, through the friction, they slowly realized I wasn't going to beat them. And now they don't wince anymore. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have waited that out. It was through me petting them going, ah! Oh, wait, nothing happened. Oh, no, that's gonna. Oh, wait, that nothing happened. Now they don't wince. It's the same thing. So every time your program tries to kick in, because it's the old self in the psychology world, and you don't give in to the emotional addiction, or you don't give in to whatever, your brain goes, what? That was weird. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Right. Imagine a drug addict that does heroin every day at noon. Then one day he decides, I'm not going to do heroin anymore. His body's going to freak the fuck out when he normally has it at noon every day and he decides not to. The body's going, what the? Something's wrong. Then over time he detoxes. And now he doesn't have even the desire. But where people go wrong, Susan, is they feel this first part of internal friction and they go, something's wrong, I'm giving up. Then they go back to the emotional addiction. And that's where people stay. Yeah. But that's the only way to escape it. You have to become aware you're trapped in this subconscious prison, and then the door is right there, but it's really uncomfortable walking through the door. And then over time your body will get adapted to the new conditioning. It's a beautiful thing, but it's really uncomfortable. So, but it's very freeing.
You know, that is so true. Oh, so many things start with awareness, and what we do, even regarding fat loss and our nutrition and our workouts and our consistency, we have to become aware of what we put in our mouth every day. You know, Absolutely. If you have no idea what you're putting in your mouth every day, you're going to live in la la land and think you're doing mm-hmm. great, right? Same thing. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any method to track how consistent am I being with hitting my nutrition or my workouts or whatever, if you're not keeping track of that, you're going to think you're way more consistent than you actually are.
And that leads to people doing one of the worst feelings you can ever experience in fitness and fat loss, is going, I'm doing everything right, yes, but I just can't make progress. It's the worst. And here's the thing. It's the worst feeling ever. Here's the other crazy part. I'm sure you see this. How many people have progress staring them in the face and they just somehow don't see it? I had a coaching call with a client of mine the other day, and cause she was switching programs and we had a kind of a catch up call. And I was like, she hopped on the phone. I'm like, hey, what's up? How are you? Ah, terrible. I've been the same weight since December. And I go, but what about the 5 inches off your stomach? Okay, I guess you're right. But damn it, I weigh the same. And I go, Doris, think about this for a second. She's like, oh yeah, that's really bad, isn't it? And I go, you literally have progress staring you in the fucking face.
Yeah.
And, but here, I don't know about you, but this is what I get a lot. Okay, I get it, but
yes,
I refuse to look at it. Again, mm-hmm. this is a form of self-sabotage, right? Because you have progress staring you in the face and you go, nope, I don't want to look at it. Like, imagine if growing up, you, because you have made babies. If you never showed your kid attention to what they did right, mm-hmm. and you only showed what they did wrong, mm-hmm. it probably would change your relationship and how he turned, how your son turned out. Right. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with this, but this goes even deeper. It's why I love the psychology pieces. You have a, have you heard about what your reticular activating system is in your brain? Mm-hmm. It's for those that don't know, it's mm-hmm. your RAS. It basically shows you what's important. If all you do is only show attention to what is going wrong, it will literally shield the right from you.
Everything.
Right? It's why when people buy a blue Honda, they see them everywhere. And as soon as they sell their blue Honda and they buy a red Jeep, all of a sudden they don't see blue Hondas anymore. And they yeah. see just red Jeeps everywhere. It's the same. It's the exact same thing. But from a fat loss perspective, if all you do is show attention to how terrible you are and how much further you have to go and all this self-deprecating behavior, your brain goes, bet, all right. Your brain, that's what people don't understand, is your unconscious mind is your biggest hype man and it will blindly follow you to death, right? It's literally, I always word it, it's like Google. If you Google why is 2 + 2 = 4, it'll give you a correct answer. But if you also Google why is 2 + 2 = 4, it will tell you a scientific answer. And your brain's the same way. It's like, okay, let's just go with this bet. Like, you know what I mean? Which is why we have to question and audit our thoughts and yes. our beliefs. And it's like, ooh, does this actually serve me? But the cool thing is, one of the things that makes us different than animals is we actually can think about what we think about. Right? When Remy wants to chase a squirrel, there's no stopping that little bastard. He goes, yeah, maybe I shouldn't. He just fucking tries to run up the tree like a dumbass. But he got one the other day, but that's uh-oh. Conversation.
He's fast.
Yeah, he's something else. But we have, as people, we can like look at what's going on and go, wait, is this true? Is this completely true? You know what? I think there might be some holes in this. You know what? I just don't want to live this way and feel like I'm scared of food or feel like I'm not worth this. And we can actually go through the process of changing that. But you can't if you're trapped in this unconscious jail.
Yeah, gosh, there's so much great stuff. I feel like your psychology of fat loss course, everyone needs to know about it. So tell people where they can find it. Cause I'm going to get it too. I love how you've made it accessible to most everybody. Mm-hmm. And the benefits of it just seem like they're so important, because everything that we've talked about, you and I talk to so many people all the time and we're seeing these common threads with people.
Yep. Absolutely.
Where can they find it?
It's at the link. I have it just in my bio link anywhere. So if you get I just have a link tree like everywhere. So if you hop on in my Instagram or my TikTok at Real Jared Hamilton, it's in there. Also, if you're on my email list, it's in my automation there. So like if someone hops on my email list, like goes on my website, gets my updates, it'll come through your email as well. Or anyone could email me and be like, yo, I want that. How do I get that? I'm not hard to get a hold of. So in the course, there's 3 videos. Cause like this is such a broad topic. I was going to make it a 5-part video series, but I almost thought that was going to be too much to digest. And if this went over well, I would like make a second edition. Mm-hmm. But with this, the 3 videos are basically how to become bulletproof around the scale. So all the details about that, how to fix your relationship with food, and then also how to handle emotional eating. Wow. So the 3 big, like, I'm not even kidding. Like I will have people go through this and they're each video is about 20 minutes a piece. So it's a lot of, it's about an hour's worth of content, but it's not just like kind of philosophical stuff. It's like, do this and this will fix it. Do this and this will fix it. Do this and this will fix it. Cause the thing I don't like is a lot of people will like be really knowledgeable, but it's like, okay, what do I do with that? Mm-hmm. Right. I get it, but how do I calculate my calories? Or I get it, but how do I actually fix emotional eating? Okay. Well, you need to stop. You need to separate your emotions from food and start journaling and meditating and like feeling anxiety for a little bit, or how to fix the scale and going through that, or how to whatever. So, the absolute action plan.
Yep. Yeah. And but so important, because so many times people get these things and it's just somebody talking and whatever. And like you said, it sounds great, but now what do I do? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But because at the end of the day, where people with any content, we have a tendency to drink out of a fire hose, and it's like, that's not practical or applicable at all. And I take this philosophy to anything that I'm learning. If I go to a seminar, I mean, hell, I was at a jujitsu seminar the other night, and you got this crazy freaking dude that trains world champs and I'm like teaching all this stuff. And I'm like, what's one technique? What's one nugget I can learn? Because if I try to take all the nuggets home, I'm not going to remember them all. But I'm like, what's the one thing I got my money's worth out of the seminar? And I'm like, that's it. And I've been implementing it in my game and it works great. It's the same thing as even if like someone's reading your content or my content or whose content or buys a course or goes to a seminar, listens to a podcast, just pick the one thing, right? Like what are you, is your action plan right now? Because if you have none, this is what leads people to be feeling really good and they keep spinning their wheels. It's like writing a to-do list, but never doing anything. Like you feel productive as fuck writing the to-do list, but then you don't do anything. It's like, oh, fuck, nothing's getting accomplished. My house is still dirty. Like, you know?
Yeah. I love that. So people can find you. Where's the best place for people to find you on Instagram for sure? TikTok. You're all over TikTok.
So I'm pretty well everywhere at Real Jared Hamilton. Okay. So TikTok and Instagram for my smaller content. HamiltonTrain.com. You can always go to my website and say what's up. You know, normal, just type in Jared Hamilton anywhere you go and you'll find me. I'm not hard to get.
You're everywhere. Them, so. You're everywhere. And people, you got to go get this because I truly feel like this is a difference maker. I mean, this is what, where so many people struggle and this will be so, so, so helpful to so many people. So thank you for sharing that because
I appreciate that.
This has been amazing. It's been amazing to see you and talk to you.
I know we got to do this more than like once every 3 months or whatever.
I think, for sure. We will.
Even just random, we got to do like a random FaceTime or whatever.
So. We do. We, you know, we should get our little crew together and just do a Zoom time with each other.
Yeah,
you know,
I'd be down.
That'd be kind of fun. We'll have to make that happen. That's right. Well, anyway, thank you for coming on. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And we will talk to you soon.
Awesome.